Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
But folks, we rule. We got the respect of the world, not just because of the example of our power, but the power of our example. That's why the world followed us. Not a joke. When I was president, wages were up and inflation was down.
That was from a recent speech Joe Biden gave, in which I believe he declared the Democratic Party is back, referring to the Democratic sweep of the elections nationwide earlier this month. It appears that even with his long-standing dementia and more recent health troubles, Biden is still the sickening bootlick servant and cheerleader of the communist globalist cabal seeking to turn America into a totalitarian world government hellhole with them in charge, filthy rich, free, and privileged, of course. Because, as anti-totalitarian writer George Orwell pointed out in his novel Animal Farm, a parody of a totalitarian communist takeover, quote, everyone is equal under socialism, but some are more equal than others. And this shows you the utter hypocrisy of communism and totalitarianism. Communist, socialist, totalitarianism, communism being the most extreme form of socialism. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary, addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. As the late David Horowitz pointed out, one of the great writers and thinkers of our time, in my opinion, and he did this a few years ago, today's Democratic Party is the Communist Party. Those are his exact words. You have to understand what is made obvious in another of George Orwell's novels, 1984. And this is that almost everything communists and other totalitarians say is a lie and a trick meant to deceive, indoctrinate, and brainwash the masses. This is equally true of the communists' allies and their other supporters and sycophants among the Democratic Party, the oligarchs with their money in communist China, and the totalitarian worshiping globalists of the United Nations and World Economic Forum and elsewhere. So we are constantly told that communism is actually democracy, that hate is actually love and compassion, and that slavery is actually freedom. And also that Trump is Trump is a fascist. Well, for communists, yes, he is a fascist. And he's crapping on the Constitution because the Constitution only exists to serve the totalitarians and means what they say it means. Here's a short video compilation that for me encapsulates much of what we true freedom-loving Americans are facing today. It's from a recent The Alex Jones Show on his embattled website, Infowars.com, and rebroadcast on other sites such as on X.com and under the Alex Jones Network, I believe, and also on Rumble.com and elsewhere. Infowars and The Alex Jones Show are facing a shutdown any day over the bankruptcy Jones was forced to file after a staggering $1.4 billion defamation judgment against him. This is over him supposedly calling the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre a hoax, although Jones continues to deny any wrongdoing and says he was only relaying what others were saying at the time, and he's also said that he does not believe it was a hoax. He personally does not. Anyway, here's the video.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working, middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working, middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working, middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000 acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
This video was done in Alex Jones' usual emotional and some would say vitriolic style. But like it or not, Alex Jones has a huge audience of tens of millions. He's been on the air for decades. And he has taken steps to ensure that even if InfoWars is taken over by the leftists, Jones says have been bankrolling the legal actions, the lawfare, he says, against him. His show will continue on via his new The Alex Jones Network. I don't agree with everything Alex Jones says or does, just like I don't agree with everything that is said and done by President Trump or so many other political figures and commentators I regularly follow. But that doesn't mean I don't support them, even if I disagree with them at times. Lately, Trump has appeared to be having a falling out with some of his previous staunch supporters, such as Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and such as also Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk, over things like the federal budget, the frenzy over the Epstein files, Trump's, which is a big nothing burger, I think, is coming out to be showed. You know, the left is trying to make it look like Trump is somehow implicated here, but there's nothing there that I've seen. And ultimately now their Congress is voting to have the thing made completely public and Whether or not the files have been doctored to delete sensitive information, we don't know, because it was under the control of the Christopher Wray FBI before it was the information was seized, the files and so forth, seized by the current Trump administration DOJ. But anyway, these disagreements, including things like the Epstein files, Trump's diplomacy with the new Syrian ruler, and allowing hundreds of thousands of students from communist China to study the U.S., which, by the way, is a big economic boost for our universities. These disagreements are natural, even among allies. But, folks, our opponents and enemies on the political right, on the political left, I'm sorry, are vigorously plotting to return to power next year and after and ensure that Trump and MAGA become extinct. Returning us to the Marxist revolution they unleashed on America under their loyal servant, Biden, and his team. We Trump and MAGA people need to stay unified. The Democratic sweep of the elections across the nation earlier this month should be a wake-up call that we have in no way defeated these enemies of freedom and our beloved republic. Unless we earnestly continue our previously unified political struggle against them, we are very likely, in my opinion, to wind up right back where we were when the traitor and criminal Joe Biden and the rabble that controlled him were running our country. And as always, I want to emphasize that while I may have strong words, I am in no way advocating any violence or other illegality in our fight against the tyranny we have been facing in recent years. These enemies who seek to destroy us are afraid of the actions of the Trump administration, which is seeking to expose and, where applicable, prosecute them. Naturally, these people are scared of this and are fighting with all the resources available to them, including their use of the mainstream media, which they control, to propagandize for them, in which they hope to, by these actions, they hope to turn back the tide against them. This is why I say again, we must stay united. Disagree respectfully, but keep up the fight against tyranny. Speaking of tyranny, here's a recent video by the conservative commentator Dr. Steve Turley on his YouTube channel detailing the latest developments by the Trump administration to expose and, where applicable, prosecute those responsible for the Russia collusion hoax, which sought to destroy Donald Trump and so many of his supporters.
We knew that when Trump nominated Tulsi Gabbard for director of national intelligence, she would take the deep state head on, and she has not disappointed. Last summer, Tulsi declassified a bombshell House Intelligence Committee report. It's been locked away in a CIA vault since September of 2020. And what it revealed is absolutely nothing short of explosive. The Russian collusion hoax wasn't a legitimate investigation that went sideways. It was, from the very beginning, manufactured from the top down, and it was directed by none other than President Barack Hussein Obama himself. Here's what we now know. After Donald Trump shocked the world by defeating Hillary Clinton in November 2016, which we predicted he would on this channel, President Obama wasn't satisfied with his own intelligence community's reporting. The official assessments from every single intelligence agency, the FBI, the CIA, NSA, Homeland Security, every single intelligence agency together concluded that Russia had neither the intent nor the capability to hack the United States election. That's exactly what was presented to President Obama in December of 2016, just a few weeks after Trump crushed Hillary on November the 8th. But then something unprecedented happened. Just weeks before Obama was set to leave office, after Trump had already won, he ordered, again, this is Obama, he ordered a coordinated effort to manufacture intelligence, concluding the exact opposite of what every single intelligence agency concluded. On December 9th, just days after receiving that intelligence report exonerating Russia from election interference, Barack Obama held a meeting in the Situation Room in the White House with FBI Director James Comey and Andrew McCabe, the Deputy FBI Director, CIA Director John Brennan, James Clapper, who was then the Director of National Intelligence, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, and National Security Advisor Susan Rice. And in that room, they together with Obama made a decision that would poison American politics for years. Here is Tulsi Gabbard.
We look at where we are now over the last several weeks. We've declassified and released documents that exposed how President Obama and leaders in the intelligence community knowingly manufactured a false intelligence document after the 2016 election was done, after the American people said, no, we want Donald Trump to go and be our commander-in-chief, not Hillary Clinton. And this manufactured document alleged that Russia aspired to help President Trump win the election with the aim of undermining his presidency and usurping the will and the voices of the American people who sent Trump to the White House.
So they decided to manufacture fake intelligence that directly contradicted their own intelligence experts. So obviously this wasn't just spin. This was the systematic creation of false intelligence designed to delegitimize a duly elected president. And what's so key here is this goes way beyond partisan politics. It doesn't matter whether this was a Democrat administration or Republican administration. What Tulsi is exposing here represents a fundamental attack on the democratic process itself. When intelligence agencies go rogue, in effect, and manufacture evidence to undermine a duly elected president at the behest of the outgoing president, we're not talking politics as usual anymore, gang. We're talking about a constitutional crisis. Or Tulsi's words, we're talking about treason. That's the word she used. This was treasonous behavior on the part of all those involved. Now, the Obama-directed intelligence community assessment made four central claims that became the foundation for years of investigations, impeachment efforts, and the Mueller witch hunt. One, Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win. Two, Putin took direct action to help Trump win. Three, the Russians had blackmail material on Trump, the infamous Steele dossier, the bought and paid for op research from the Clinton campaign that had all those fabricated, salacious details about Trump that Putin was supposedly using to manipulate him. And four, the Russians colluded with the Trump campaign. Every single one of those allegations wasn't just false. They were all fabricated. They were frauds. They were all intentionally manufactured to sabotage Trump's presidency. There was no verifiable intelligence to support any of them. And now it looks like more and more CIA and FBI agents are beginning to sing. We're now getting reports that as many as 20 FBI and CIA agents were interviewed during the investigation into the origins of the Russian collusion narrative, and they were indeed singing. In fact, we're getting reports that there were over 70 witnesses total interviewed, over 300,000 documents produced, 2,000 classified source documents for the intelligence community assessment, 230 hours of testimony. And these agents are reportedly key insiders in terms of both rank and file and high-level officials who have reportedly blown the whistle, provided testimony, and pointed the finger directly at the Obama administration regarding the manipulation of the intelligence assessment used to frame the Russian investigation. And this is all coming to a head in a federal grand jury that's been officially impaneled to begin meeting just weeks from now in January in Fort Pierce. That's in the Southern District of Florida. And this grand jury will investigate everything involved in this, what is technically known as Crossfire Hurricane Operation, and the potential criminal conspiracy charges against everyone involved in it, starting at the top. Now, what's so fascinating is that Pam Bondi appears to be taking full advantage of the fact that conspiracies are trans-jurisdictional. Constitutionally, conspiracy charges can be tried anywhere, like crimes involving money wiring. And we're being told that this grand jury is considering evidence that's, again, going all the way to the top to Obama himself. It's just been announced that Kash Patel has dropped over 30 subpoenas hitting the desks of people once thought they were absolutely untouchable. So we're talking former CIA Director John Brennan, who led the agency during the Obama administration when the Russia investigation began, the utterly smug Peter Stroke, the former FBI Deputy Assistant Director of Counterintelligence, who helped open the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane probe into Trump-Russia connections. Lisa Page, former FBI attorney, whose text messages with Stroke revealed just how radically anti-Trump sentiment ran rampant throughout the agency back in 2016. James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, and approximately 26 other officials connected to the 2017 ICA, that's the intelligence community assessment, that was intentionally altered and fabricated to make it look as if Trump and Russia colluded to interfere in the 2016 election. Federal prosecutors are now investigating whether Obama-era officials manipulated intelligence for political purposes. You know, for years, Democrats told us that no one is above the law, as they indicted Trump on charges that have crumbled in court. Well, they set the rules, and if the evidence proves that a sitting president engineered an intelligence operation to delegitimize his successor and subvert the will of over 63 million American voters, then Barack Obama, John Brennan, James Comey, and everyone involved need to face the consequences. The dam is breaking. Justice may finally be coming, and this time it's backed by the receipts.
You may have seen, or at least become aware of, Tucker Carlson's recently released documentary titled "Who is Thomas Crooks?" referring to the would-be assassin of President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, a year ago last July. I watched this video myself the other day. It purports to reveal much new information about Crooks, the attempted assassin of President Trump in July of 2024, again, as I said, at Butler, Pennsylvania, at a speech he was giving there. FBI Director Kash Patel has come under criticism from conservatives for support supposedly continuing an alleged FBI cover-up about Crooks and the assassination attempt. But as Kash Patel points out, remember that he inherited this investigation, which was initiated and initially conducted by Christopher Wray's, the deep state swamp creatures, FBI. In our last video presentation today, Kash Patel gives his own explanation of the Crooks investigation and the Carlson video on Crooks. This was done just recently on Patel's new YouTube channel, The Enforcement Files. I recommend you subscribe to this channel and see Patel's explanations for much of what he and the FBI are doing today regarding its investigations and activities. In another of his videos there, I watched recently as Patel was discussing the difficulties he faces trying to reform and reorganize the 40,000-member bureau and its vast bureaucracy. I'm sure this is no easy task. And I want to say that I have not lost none of my admiration for and support of Director Patel, despite the attacks on him from both the left and the right.
And when President Trump won re-election in 2024, he asked me to take over the FBI not because I would protect the institution, but because I would reform it. So when people say I'm part of a cover-up, when they say I've become what I fought against, they're questioning everything I've spent a decade of my life building. But you know what? I don't care about my reputation. I care about the truth, and I care about explaining to you, the American people who put President Trump back in office, why the November 14th update said what it said. Because the alternative is letting Tucker Carlson, Twitter investigators, and political opportunists define the narrative with incomplete information, misleading interpretations, and conspiracy theories that undermine legitimate national security investigations. So let me walk you through what actually happened with Thomas Crooks, what we found, what limited online interactions actually means in investigative terms, and why some of the evidence Tucker is citing isn't what it appears to be what really happened on July 13th, 2024, Butler, Pennsylvania, the day that changed everything. I want you to understand something. I wasn't FBI director that day. Christopher Wray was. The FBI that responded to that scene, that conducted the initial investigation, that made the early determinations about Thomas Crooks, that was Ray's FBI, the same FBI that spied on President Trump, the same FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago, the same FBI that I criticized for years. So, when I took over in February 2025, I inherited this investigation, and I had a choice. Do I trust Ray's team, or do I start from scratch? Here's what I decided. I would review everything they did, verify their findings independently, and only then would I make public statements about what we know. And here's what we found about July 13th. At 6:11 p.m., Thomas Matthew Crooks fired 8 shots from a rooftop 130 yards from President Trump. The first bullet grazed President Trump's ear, missing his brain by less than a quarter inch. If President Trump hadn't turned his head at that exact moment, if he hadn't moved to gesture at that immigration chart, he would be dead right now. A hero named Corey Comparatore died protecting his family. 2 others were critically wounded, and a Secret Service counter-sniper eliminated the threat by taking out Crooks with a single shot. Within hours, we had FBI agents on the ground. Within days, we had Crooks' devices, his social media accounts, his financial records, his search history, everything. And what we found was complicated. Thomas Crooks was a 20-year-old registered Republican who had donated to a progressive voter turnout organization. He had researched both Trump and Biden rally locations. He had explosive devices in his car and materials at his home. He was a member of a local shooting club where he practiced regularly. But here's the part that nobody wants to talk about. Crooks didn't fit any profile we normally see in assassination attempts or domestic terrorism cases. He wasn't part of an extremist organization. He wasn't radicalized by a specific ideology. He didn't leave a manifesto. He didn't make threats beforehand. He didn't communicate his plans to anyone we could identify. And yes, and I know this is the controversial part, his online activity was limited compared to what we typically see in cases like this. Now, before you close this video and call me a liar, let me explain what that actually means. The limited online. This is the phrase that got me in the most trouble. Limited online interactions. Tucker Carlson heard that and said, "Cash is lying. I have evidence of hundreds of Crooks posts. I have video of him. The FBI is covering up his extensive online presence." And then thousands of you, people who supported my nomination, people who bought my book, people who trusted me, started asking, "Has Cash Patel become part of the cover-up?" So let me explain what limited online interactions means in FBI investigative terms, because this is where the disconnect is happening. When the FBI analyzes someone's digital footprint in a national security investigation, we're not just counting posts, we're looking for specific things. 1, direct communications about planning violence. 2, coordination with other individuals or groups. 3, radicalization through specific online communities. 4, threats made toward targets before the attack. 5, a clear ideological or political motive expressed online. Now here's what we found with Thomas Crooks. Yes, he had 25 different accounts across various platforms, but most of those were dormant or had minimal activity. Gaming accounts, old YouTube accounts he created as a teenager, Reddit accounts with a handful of comments. Yes, we reviewed nearly 500,000 files from his devices, but the vast majority of that was standard digital clutter. Cached web pages, app data, downloaded games, school files, memes, videos he watched. Yes, he had some political posts going back years. He commented on 2016 election content. He had opinions on Trump. But here's the key. He never communicated those plans with anyone. He never made threats. He never joined extremist groups. He never posted about committing violence. When Tucker says he found hundreds of Crooks posts, what he's actually found is scattered comments across multiple platforms over nearly a decade. Comments that, when reviewed individually by trained analysts, don't reveal a clear plan or motive. Let me give you an example. Tucker highlights a post where Crooks allegedly wrote about Trump winning in 2016 and says, "Either way, I believe the outcome will be irrelevant." Tucker interprets that as Crooks planning to kill Trump regardless of election results. But our analysts reading that same post in context see a nihilistic 19-year-old expressing political apathy, not telegraphing assassination plans. The difference matters. Because if we label every cynical social media comment as a threat, we'd be investigating millions of Americans. That's not effective counterterrorism. That's dystopian surveillance. Now, about the video Tucker showed of crooks dry firing a handgun in his bedroom. Yes, we have that video. We reviewed it. We know about it. But here's the context Tucker didn't give you. Crooks was a member of a local shooting club. He practiced shooting regularly. Him practicing with a firearm at home isn't unusual for someone in a gun club. It's not proof of assassination planning unless we can tie it to specific threats or communications about targeting President Trump, and we couldn't make that connection because it doesn't exist in the evidence. So when I say limited online interactions, I mean, compared to other domestic terrorism cases where we find manifestos, group chats plotting violence, specific threats, coordination with co-conspirators, and clear radicalization pathways, Crooks had relatively little of that. Does that mean he had no online presence? No. Does it mean he never posted political opinions? No. It means he didn't leave a clear digital trail explaining why he tried to kill President Trump. And I know that's an unsatisfying answer. I know you want me to say, yes, we found his 50-page manifesto explaining everything. I know you want clear villains and simple explanations, but the truth is messy. And my job isn't to give you the answer you want. It's to give you the answer the evidence supports. Why Tucker's evidence isn't what it seems. Now, let me address Tucker's investigation directly, because I have immense respect for Tucker, but I think he's made some critical errors in his analysis. Tucker obtained what he believes is Thomas Crook's YouTube account. He found comments going back years. He traced what he sees as Crook's political evolution from Trump supporter to Trump assassin. Here's the problem. We investigated those same accounts, and our forensic analysis raises serious questions about attribution. Without getting into classified methodology, I can tell you this. Verifying social media accounts, especially older accounts with limited activity, is extremely difficult. Username squatting is common. Account takeovers happen. People create fake accounts pretending to be others. Just because an account has the name Thomas Crooks or uses a profile picture that might be him doesn't mean Thomas Crooks actually operated that account. We cross-reference accounts with device data, IP addresses, metadata, writing patterns, and other forensic markers. And when we did that analysis, several of the accounts Tucker is attributing to Crooks couldn't be definitively confirmed as his now. Did Crooks have some online activity? Yes. Did he post political opinions occasionally? Yes. Did he have YouTube accounts and Reddit accounts? Yes. But did he operate all the accounts Tucker found? We're not confident he did. And here's why that matters. If we publicly confirm accounts as belonging to Crooks when we're not certain, and then it turns out those accounts belong to someone else, we've just destroyed an innocent person's life. We've associated them with an assassination attempt they had nothing to do with. That's not being cautious. That's being responsible. Tucker also showed video of Crooks practicing with a handgun. Again, we have that video, but Tucker presents it as proof of assassination planning. Our analysts see a gun club member practicing firearm handling. Context matters, training matters, evidence standards matter, and I'm not going to lower our evidentiary standards just to give people the narrative they want. The political pressure I'm under. Let me be honest with you about something. The political pressure on this case is unlike anything I've experienced in my career from the left. I'm being accused of being Trump's puppet. They say I can't be objective because Trump appointed me. They're claiming I'm covering up evidence that would make Trump look bad or that would justify increased domestic surveillance of conservatives from the right. I'm being accused of betraying the movement. They say I've become part of the swamp. They think I'm protecting the FBI's reputation instead of exposing the truth. From inside the FBI, career agents who oppose my reforms are leaking selectively, trying to undermine my credibility, hoping I'll be forced out so they can go back to business as usual from the intelligence community. Other agencies that resent my criticism of their Trump-era activities are working to sabotage this investigation, hoping I'll fail publicly. So let me ask you, in that environment, what would you do? If I release every file we have, including tentative leads, unconfirmed accounts, raw intelligence that hasn't been verified, what happens? Option A, the media cherry picks the most sensational details, removes context, and creates a narrative that's misleading but generates clicks. Option B, defense attorneys in other cases use our rush disclosure as evidence that the FBI doesn't follow proper procedures, helping criminals go free. Option C, foreign adversaries learn our investigative techniques, making future counterterrorism operations harder. Option D, innocent people get associated with crooks based on unconfirmed online connections, destroying their lives. Or option E, all of the above. Now, some of you are thinking, Cash, we don't care about those complications. We want transparency. We want everything released. And I respect that. I've spent years calling for more transparency. But now that I'm actually in this chair, I've learned something important. Raw intelligence and confirmed facts are not the same thing. And releasing raw intelligence to satisfy public curiosity can do more harm than good. So I made a decision. I would release what we've confirmed, not what we suspect, not what might be true, what we've verified through rigorous analysis. And what we've confirmed is this. Thomas Crooks had some online activity, but it was limited compared to other domestic terrorism cases, and it didn't provide a clear motive or reveal co-conspirators. Is that the full story? No. Are we still investigating? Yes. Will there be more to report as we verify additional leads? Absolutely. But on November 14th, I gave you the most honest assessment I could give based on confirmed.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Betz Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Betz Show and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977 and on rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Betz Show, scroll down on that first page, the index page there, and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.